Amen. Today's message is called Who's at Your Table? I was talking to Brother Andy when we were doing the radio and the website, and I've been meditating and studying this thing, but I didn't know which way to go with it. You know, when God barrages you with so much information and you study so much information, you kind of get yourself screwed up. Because I told Brother Andy, I was telling Lord, okay, now you got to show me which way you want me to go with this, because I don't want to get it all mumble jumbled together. It's got to have a message and a point so that we'll have something to take with us that we can feed on after the service.
Yeah.
So the message is called Who's at Your Table? We're going to, instead of trying to deal with all 12 disciples, we're going to deal with four of them. We're going to deal with the disciples that was the most closest to Christ, that were in his inner circle. John the disciple, he wrote 5 books, the Gospel of John, John 1, 2, and 3, and Revelation. Can you believe, after all this, he was the only one of the disciples that died of natural death? The only one who died of actual death. And he wrote these books, and he wrote the book of Revelations. So you have to ask yourself, one day I'm going to take some time out and research how long he actually lived, survived on the Isle of Patmos. Because they put him on the island completely by itself. And I've read some different commentaries, and nobody knows whether there were animals, there was food on the island. And you know, you just can't drink the water, because the Isle of Patmos, the water is seawater, salt water. So you can't drink it. So, was he smart enough? Where did he get his fire from? These are the kind of things that make me curious. These are the kind of things I ask God about, because I know if I get an answer from God on what these things involve, I might find myself in that situation and I don't know what to do.
Right.
That's why it's so important that we talk to him.
Amen.
That we communicate with him.
Amen.
The less you communicate with God, the less you hear from him.
Amen.
You know, that's just simple. But see, these guys, we think about these guys being at the table. I know once I mentioned Judas' name, everybody just went straight to Judas. But when we look at John, for example, these guys had some bad attitudes, Brother Gregory. I don't know if you know it or not, but John and James were blood brothers. And they both had horrible attitudes. But they were at the table. Think about it for a minute. They were at the table with Jesus. One thing about it, I found this out to be true. When God changes a life, he does not remove the personality flaws, but he finds a way to use them. People forget that. They think when they give their heart and life to God, that they're just going to be completely changed. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to pray all the time. I'm going to study this Bible. Like, I'm going to meditate. And when we first get saved, that's exactly what we do. Because guess what? We done found a new friend. And we want to get close to that new friend. But after a couple years, we done went through this, and we've been tried like fire, and we done been tempted, and we done went through all these things. We kind of lose some of that. That striving that we found when we first got. When we first got saved, baby, don't let your car not start. You laid hands on that bad boy, and it started. And it probably didn't have nothing to do with your faith. You just probably flooded it the first time.
Amen.
But you couldn't tell your faith that.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You wake up every morning, and your feet hit the floor. And you don't think during the night, if you get up and go to the restroom at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't think, you have no reason to think that at 9 o'clock or whatever time you get up, that you're not going to get up. That's the good thing about the faith that we have, in spite of our personal situations in our lives. John was always running his mouth when he wasn't supposed to. How many people at your table do that? Always had something negative to say. But you know what? He learned something. He learned the fact that those who realize how much they are loved are able to love as much. Why? Because in spite of his conditions or his big mouth, Jesus loved him as his own. I'm going someplace with this. Who's at your table today? I got some bona fide nuts at my table. It's the truth. Some of the things they believe, some of the stuff they say, and folks tell me all the time, why you fool with them guys? Then I ask them, why not? Because they this. I say, well, you ain't no different. You just don't think I know. So why would you pass judgment on them and not on yourself?
Amen.
Who's at your table today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, this we're going to be out of here today, Therese. If we get out of here by 12:15, you got to give me them socks. And the shoes. Before you leave the building, I got a pair upstairs. You know what? You got the shape. Okay. You're so funny. I missed you. Let's look at James, the brother of John. Now, you know, Scripture in the Old Testament said, how can two be together, I'm paraphrasing, except they agree? Well, if John had a bad attitude, that would mean that James had one too. And according to scholars, James' bad attitude was worse than John. Do you know how much time Jesus spent rebuking these two? It wasn't a day that went by and Jesus didn't have to rebuke something they had to say. Because they were like this. I don't remember where it is, but I got it wrote down, but I'm not going to read it, go to it in the Bible. I'm just going to paraphrase for you because you probably read the story anyway. They were going into a town and they folks didn't receive Jesus. So the two brothers were with Christ. Peter was there, but he was in another part of the town. We don't know where Judas was, probably someplace trying to figure out how he was going to skim $10 off of the pot. Nevertheless, John and James makes the statement. Now listen very carefully. Hey, Jesus, how about you let us call down fire from heaven and burn up this city? They want the man who is loved personified, and they talking about, let's burn the city. They didn't say, Jesus, you do it. Now listen, they said, can we do it? So in order for them to say, can we do it, they had to believe that they had authority and power to do it. Where'd they get it from? From being at the table with Jesus. In spite of their bad attitudes. That's just like saying, Lord, let's just blow up Syria. That'll solve all our problems. It'll solve nothing.
Right.
It's like folks going around, you step on their toe, they come back and shoot you up.
Right. Yeah.
What did it solve? We got a lot of them folks at our tables too.
Yeah.
They may not shoot you, but the mindset is to make you pay. James outbursts concern selfishness. He was selfish. John was not so selfish, but he was territorial. You know he was territorial. And we got people sitting at our table that are territorial. People at our table that are selfish.
Amen.
But we ask ourselves, do we discard them or do we feed them? The church is in the business of discarding these people. God is in the business of helping them, giving them something they can stand on. This is what James learned. He learned To lose his life is not too much a price to pay for following Jesus. How many know he was the first one to be actually martyred?
Yep.
He was the first one to give his life for the cause of Christ. Amen. Amen. Then we got Peter. Peter was impulsive. He was the one that always had something to say without thinking about what he was going to say. How many folks you know like that at your table? Sean. I just thought I'd message since you sit so close to me. You're usually back there someplace. Don't worry about it. Research. That's what research is about. A lot of things you don't know where they are, so you research to find out. Correct, Tyrone? Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Shh. He spoke impulsively. And then he had the nerve to, Jesus said, man, I already know who you are. You're going to deny me twice, three times. No, I ain't. I'd never deny you. I love you too much. I go everywhere you go. Now, you have to understand about these three guys. Every miracle that Jesus performed, they were with him. Yeah. None of the other disciples were there, but these three, when he raised the girl from the dead, went to the centurion's house, they were with him. They were at Gethsemane when he went up to pray. They were with him. So they knew his nature. They knew his character. Why would Jesus let these rascals follow him around? They got bad attitudes, and one of them then already decided that when he found out that Jesus is about to die, I don't know him. I love my life. He decided it's more important than to be associated with Christ. Even though for the last 3.5 years, everybody around him just seen them together.
Right.
How do you deny that? That's like Sister Nancy getting mad with Mickey and stand up and say, he ain't my son. We gonna look at her like she's crazy. Where'd she find that lie at? She must have had to dig that one up. I still got time. Peter was, and you know what Peter's biggest problem was? It was his biggest problem was accepting Gentiles. To Peter, Gentile, they were dogs. You weren't to be respected equally. So he had a bigger problem than the first two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Peter was actually a racist against common folk. If you weren't a Jew, you should be someplace crawling. Not walking. That was his mentality. But he did learn something. He learned the fact that zeal has got to be backed up with faith and understanding, or it all fails. It's useless. Then we have Mr. Judas. Mr. Judas, the treasure. Always one step behind. Now, here he is sitting at the table with Jesus. Jesus knows all the time, every time they raise money, he gets some out for himself. But Jesus didn't make him get up from the table. He left him there. Uh-huh. And he treated him as a brother. And he loved him as much as he loved John, as much as he loved James, as much as he loved Peter. Uh-huh. And you say to yourself, why would he fool with somebody he knows is stealing funds that they're using for the ministry? Say, well, because he's Jesus. No, because of the nature of his father. So he didn't discard him. He used him. Even though he had this thing about stealing, he was a great treasurer. He just liked to skim off the top. And Jesus probably figured he ain't gonna take enough to hurt us, so let him keep doing his job. What did he learn in the process? Not a darn thing. Because he got even greedier. He realized he wasn't actually getting enough off the top. So you know what? I'm going to get rid of him. Now, there's three different stories of why he turned Jesus over. First is that he thought Jesus was going to come and destroy all the Pharisees and the Roman culture and take over and build his kingdom then.
Yeah.
Found out he wasn't going to do that. He was upset over that.
Yeah.
Then he thought Jesus came to deliver them and to make them rulers over those folks that were ruling over them.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus didn't do that either.
Yep.
So then he decided, you know what? If he ain't going to do what I thought he came to do, he ain't the Messiah. And if he ain't the Messiah, I might as well get paid.
Yeah.
Seeing that the Sadducees and they want to get rid of him anyway.
Uh-huh.
But see, he went in this thing not realizing that they were going to kill him. He probably figured they were just going to lock him up for a long stint.
Uh-huh.
But that shows you where his mindset was. Right. That shows you what he learned at the table.
Right. Come on.
He didn't learn anything at the table.
Come on now.
So he turns these over, 30 pieces of silver. We know that silver represents redemption. We know that 30 represents the first fold of dominion or dimension of the anointing, which he used, but it was an anointing of flesh. Folks, used to teach folks, mother, you might remember that flesh can be anointed too.
Yeah.
They laughed at me. What are you crazy? How can flesh be anointed? You ever been riding your back? Y'all ain't got an answer because I don't want you to mess your mind up. Been riding in your car and flipping through the stations and heard one of them old songs that you used to date somebody on and you was like, started feeling goosebumps, got all excited because your flesh got excited. That anointed flesh began to revive itself. From that point on, it was on and popping. Oh, Bell. John, James, Peter, and Judas. Who's at your table? All of us have a James. All of us have a John. All of us have a Peter. And all of us have a Judas. But after he realized what he did, Pastor Keys, he decided that he was going to repent and hang himself. Only he messed up. Because if you repent to God and then commit suicide, your repentance is null and void. But see, you can't, folks get mad at Judas. I don't get mad at Judas because that's what Judas was appointed to do in the beginning. That was his job. That was his ministry, to sell out Christ.
Yeah.
He wasn't born for any other reason than to just sell out Christ. Christ needed somebody to turn on him, to sell him out so that he could die and rise again.
Right.
John wasn't going to do it. James wasn't going to do it. Peter wasn't going to do it in spite of their foolishness. Peter never thought he was going to die. That's why he said, I'll never deny you. He didn't think he was going to die. But when he realized the thing was going down,
I don't know it.
I've been here with Greg all day. Get mad. Then you see his impulsiveness come up. Probably called him on time. You, blah, 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 blah. I don't know him. The third time somebody said, we saw you. You ain't saw me doing nothing. I don't know him. I don't know what he looked like. And guess what? It come back to him.
Yeah.
That he had just messed up. Let's look at Judas. With a damaged pride and humiliated ego, Judas, moved by his own greed, yielded to his selfish instincts, not realizing that Jesus would eventually be tried and killed. When he learned the outcome of his betrayal, he repented in despair and committed suicide and missed God.
Yep.
There's a story in that too. This is three. Don't keep repenting and going back to the same nest.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Hebrews says something like this.
Like the dog returned to the same old family.
Thank you, sir. I have to repeat that. He don't have no mic, Brother Andy. Let the dog return to his same old vomit. And then it also says, remember this, after you know to do the truth, there remaineth no more repentance. You figured the latter stuff it out. Go ahead. You know Nancy a scholar.
Amen.
She's been answering all our questions. I'd be glad to look it up. That ain't right, Sister Nancy. You look it up. Yeah, it is. She got me on three occasions. So I don't, what she's saying now, it's the law. She like E.F. Button. I'm finna close out. Shh. He always tell me to take my time. I love this church. Amen. We're going to look at what they learn. What they learn is what we're supposed to learn. Because we got all of these people sitting at our table, and God does not expect us to discard not a one. Some folks done us so bad, they done talked about us so bad, and they keep coming to us like they ain't done nothing. They have no memory of the heartache they've caused you. They have no memory of the pain they've caused in your life, but they show up at your doorstep wanting to sit at your table and fellowship you every chance they get. And your mind is telling you, you can't trust them. Your mind is telling you, don't be bothered. Your mind is telling you, oh, I ought to cut his throat. Amen. Your mind is telling you, I ought to throw her out of this 20-story building. But God is saying, if they at your table, they at your table for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Come on.
And it's up to you to pray and ask God what that reason is, so you'll know how to minister to them.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Let's look at what John learned. 1 John 3 and 2. Pastor Keith's going to read it. This is what he learned. Somebody at your table will have the ability to learn what God is doing in your life because you didn't throw them away. I got a friend named, well, I can't say his name because he visits here. But, no. Thank you. That's a good word for it. But he loved God. How can I say he don't love God? Beautiful voice. Wants to do good things for people, but he is and folks ask me all the time, why you bother with him? He's my friend. A lot of folks say, why you deal? That's my friend. How can he be your friend? You a minister. You ain't supposed to have nothing to do with that. You wrong, bro. What Bible you read? You must be reading good book of the Frigidaire. Because my Bible tells me, love those that hate you, pray for those that despitefully use you. And I guarantee you, there's been people at our table that have blown us up. But you know what the good thing is? God puts us back together. You got it, Pastor Keys?
Yes, sir.
This is John.
Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
That's what he learned from sitting at the table with Jesus. If Jesus had discarded him, that very important passage we just heard, we would have never known about. But because Jesus loved him, in spite of who he was, in spite of what was in him, he got this out of it. God began to deal with him concerning the situation, and he recognized, we are the sons of God. Let's read that again.
Beloved, now we are the sons of God.
Not yesterday, but now. And you know who he's talking to? He's no longer in John. He's not talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Gentiles. His whole message, remember, he was a racist against Gentiles. Now he's telling the Gentile, we, me, Jew, you, Gentile, we are now the sons of God together. We don't have to wait to become, we are the sons of God. Amen. Only problem is we haven't been able to see it because we see ourselves too much. And because we see ourselves, we have dedicated ourselves to self, which will eliminate the power of God in your life.
Amen.
Ain't that a powerful message he learned from being at the table?
Yes.
James 2, 1 through 5, Pastor. Amen. There's a purpose for us. We may not understand it, and a lot of times we don't see it. But a lot of times I don't even see the purpose God has for me. I've been growing into this thing for 9 years. Every year, God gives me a little bit more confidence concerning certain things. You say, well, you were associate pastor for what, 20 years? They got nothing to do with it. I knew because when Pastor Hartman got home, they was going to change everything I did anyway, and it wouldn't be my fault anyway. But I don't have that to lay on now. Amen. But I'm excited because people sitting at your table have the ability to get something out of it, which is what? Life.
Man.
Yes, sir. Okay, brother.
My brother, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that wear the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?
James 2, 1 and 5.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?
There are a lot of poor in spirit folks sitting at your table. Some of our tables are bigger than others. My mother used to have a dining room table that stretched from this pole to that wall. Why? Well, maybe it has something to do with her having 9 kids. But we were all at that table. And we were all different folks. Boy, were we different. We spent our childhood life fighting each other. For dominion over who was going to have the most power in that house. My mother was working, and we didn't know where Dad was. When they came out with that song, we assumed that was it. I love my dad, but the truth is the truth. Papa was a rolling stone. I ran to my mother, I said, that's Dad. Wherever he lay his hat. Now, don't try it like y'all don't know that. Your memory ain't with me. But look what James learned. Look what he got out of being able to sit at the table with Jesus.
Amen.
Look at it. Now he is a man who has no respect of persons. When he did, if you remember correctly, when they were coming to Jerusalem, I think it was, and the guy that was in the tree.
Yeah.
And Nathan and James and John and Peter was hollering, why are you going to be bothered with him? Or the woman with the issue of blood when she ran up behind Jesus. You know who was there? John, James, and Peter.
Yes.
What'd they say? Get away from him. Jesus, what you have to do with her? Did he say from this day forth, y'all leave me. Don't want you around me no more. Because you're not thinking the way I'm thinking. But what he did realize, he realized this one fact. Scripture says, be ye transformed
by the renewing
of your mind. Their minds began to renew. But what had to take place? Jesus had to die and rise again. Sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves trying to live up to somebody else's expectations. When you stop doing it and be who God called you to be and called you out and chose you to be, now you have the power and the authority. When folks sit at your table, they have the ability to glean from your life, not from your words. Because a lot of Christians talk out the side of their neck. And hey, I've done it. It's just been done. You say one thing and do something else. Bless God, I'm saved, born again, fire baptized, and go right out there, and somebody got you locked in, and forget that you saved and fire baptized. Now you out there doing the baptism. On somebody that didn't mean you no harm. I've seen it happen. Yes. I've seen it happen. It's important that people that are at your table glean something from your table. That they find you a good servant. Amen. Not a person that's always done right. Not a person that never makes mistakes. Because I call them people haughty.
Say that.
And the Bible tells us haughtiness shall have a great fall.
That's right.
Amen. And then we got who? Peter. That's in 1 Peter 3 and 8. I'm working it. It's more than the pastor keys. 1 Peter 3 and 8.
Amen, amen.
And Peter was just, he was the hardest of them all. He wanted to kill Paul. The rest of them were scared of Paul. Peter was angry at Paul. How are we going to let this rascal come up into our group after he done tried to kill us? He done jailed us. He done whipped us. He done stoned us. Now you guys want to let him come into our discipleship group. What does he say, Pastor Keys?
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous.
How you like that? Here's Peter. He said, be of one mind.
Yes.
If you listen to his teaching, it aligns itself with what Paul said. Mind the same principle and speak the same thing. What does that tell you? That because they were allowed to sit at the table of Jesus, something good came out of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much what he said that did it. It was the life he lived. That's why most of us have Bibles. They have the printing of Jesus, the words of Jesus in red. In my Bible, they're in black. They're bold, but they're in black, signifying that what Jesus did and what everybody else is doing was just important. Just as important. Somebody said, how many books did Jesus write? So you don't want me to answer that. Yeah, I do. How many books did Jesus write? So how many books in the Bible? Where does it say he wrote all the 66 books? He wrote them.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
Well, it says Paul. No. Where do you think he got it from?
Hello.
Jesus wrote the Old Testament. First Peter. Where do you think Jesus. What you have to understand, all the teachings that's in the New Testament or in the epistles come out of the Old.
That's right.
Man.
God did that to tie us all together.
That's right.
So, who's at your table today? Are you feeding him crow? That brother Green, you never know when he's going to get tickled. Right, or are you feeding a mistake? What are you feeding them? Yeah. Whatever you feed them is coming to life, not from your mouth. We are living in a generation where when you talk about God, people could care less what you say.
Yeah.
First thing they want to do is see if it lines up with what you live.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And most folks, you're not even around all the time, but they still going to judge you for that. So what are you going to do? I change it now. What are you going to do with the people that are sitting at your table? And some of our tables are as big as the stadium. That's how many people are in our lives, sitting at our table. What is the table? You are the table. What's the strength of the table? Christ in you, your hope of glory. So you have to decide that everybody sits at your table, regardless of who it is. Let me tell you this. I'm going to drop this on you. If you go to the supermarket and you meet somebody you don't know and they want to talk to you about something, guess what they're doing now? They're sitting at your table. And I find out most folks don't want you to say nothing. They just want you to listen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You'd be amazed at how much I listen. If I'm standing in line, somebody starts talking about something, and I say to myself, here we go again. And the Lord says, you better be quiet and listen. I hear about folks' problems that I had never met before in my life. They tell me stuff about their wives and tell me stuff about their husbands and talk about their kids. And folks looking around at me, Brother Tony, trying to figure out, do you know them? Because one guy even asked me, you know him? He's talking to you about some person. Man, I never seen that guy before in my life. So why you listen? It's my responsibility.
Right.
He said, you be one of them preachers. Well, I'm one of whatever you want to call me. Guess what he did? I didn't invite him to my table. He invited himself.
Amen.
Folks invite themselves to your table because they see something in you.
Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Reverend McTeer invited me to his table some 25, 30 years ago. Amen. We needed some pipes worked on. And he came to work on those pipes. And his life was so exemplary. He was so humble. And he left a saying with me. And I say it all the time now. Folks say, how you doing? Holding on and looking up. I got it from him.
Amen.
You know why it was so important? Because when he made the statement, Tyrone, he meant it. Yes. I looked into his heart and saw that's how he lived.
Yes.
I'm holding on to life regardless of what comes my way, and I'm looking to which cometh my help, which is Jesus. So that means that anybody that comes to my table, I got some food for them. You come to my table, you ain't never got to stop. You can live. Who's at your table?
Hallelujah.
And what are you feeding them today? Everybody's table.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord.